The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised, for he is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter where he is going ahead of you, to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And all that had been commanded to them, they told briefly to those around Peter. And afterward, Jesus himself sent out through them, from east to west, the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. The Gospel of the Lord.
May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have vivid memories of the first time my mother let me go to the Easter sunrise service with my father, who was the minister of our church. It was a huge deal to me. My older brother had gone at least 1 year, maybe more, and I just remember longing to be old enough to go, thinking that it was surely the most wonderful thing to see the sunrise on Easter morning. Mind you, it was upstate New York, so it was cold and there was snow, a lot of snow. My mother made it sound like our lives were in danger of frostbite or worse. I remember bundling up with every article of warm clothing until I could hardly move and having gigantic boots on my feet. Feeling like I was venturing out into the Arctic tundra. But it was magical, that early Easter morning in the dark and the cold, the hush of the world covered in snow and a few intrepid worshipers, the first that day to greet one another with, "Alleluia, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed." That magical Easter morning could not have been more different than the actual first Easter morning. I appreciate the raw simplicity of Mark's account, the messy abruptness of his ending. If you open your Bible to the last chapter of Mark, you'll notice that there are actually several versions of how the gospel ends. We have two of them this morning. The second is indicated in brackets and is thought to be a later addition, perhaps to tidy up the unfinished story. I think both endings tell something of the truth about what happened that morning. Of course, the women fled in terror and amazement and at first told no one. From our vantage point, knowing what we know, it is hard to remember that they knew nothing except that Jesus was dead and that their experience in the dawn light was grief and shock over what had happened. Let's dwell there for just a moment. If you live long enough, every one of us will experience the death of someone we love. No matter how prepared we are, no matter how expected the death might be, to lose someone you love to death is wrenching, draining, breathtaking, destabilizing. Grief washes over you like a great tidal wave, and then another, leaving you weak and unable to function normally. But these three women who came to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body were not only grieving at the death of someone they loved, they had also lived through the shock of the events leading to his premature and unjust death. They had been traumatized by witnessing Jesus' crucifixion, by all accounts, the most horrific form of death. And certainly horrific for those watching. It's a wonder the women had any bandwidth to comprehend what they saw and heard at the empty tomb. John Meacham, in his book of sermons on the seven last words of Christ, says, "So begins the story of Christianity with confusion, not clarity, with mystery, not certainty." End of quote. The announcement of the young man was not like flipping some switch and suddenly everything made sense. Suddenly Jesus' friends were happy again. Suddenly things went back to normal. Instead, the women likely felt disbelief and profound confusion. Can they trust what they see and hear? How do they make sense of this? And what does it mean? The women and the other disciples didn't instantly understand anything. Talk about having to pivot in the face of a new and unexpected reality. Again, quoting John Meacham, "Jesus can be confounding. And he forced the early believers to become masters of theological improvisation." Theological improvisation. Jesus' followers had to figure out the meaning of everything on the fly. Things that few had even considered. I want to take a little sidebar here and say something about context. In the society of Jesus' day, women occupied a place that was less than men. They didn't come to the tomb because they were important to the story. They came because they were doing what needed to be done, showing care and respect for one they loved. But think about this. These are the people, and this is the context that God chose to reveal God's most magnificent work. That's what God is like. When the least obvious people are going about their day-to-day work, the Holy Spirit breaks in and gives the most amazing insights. So back to the main story. Theologians and religious historians call this first Easter morning the hinge of history. The world was a certain way. History had been unfolding according to a certain pattern. But then Jesus died and God raised him from the dead. And forever after, everything is seen in a different light. And the course of history has been altered. There are two little words in the reading from Acts today that point to this reality. Those two words are, but God. The Roman government put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day. Jesus did not raise himself. Jesus offered himself into the hands of religious leaders. He allowed himself to be taken by the soldiers. He submitted to crucifixion. It was God who raised him from the dead. Jesus' humble willingness to give himself into the hands of others and ultimately into the hands of God is what unleashed the power of love, which is the power of God for the sake of the world. 2 weeks ago in the gospel reading from John, we heard Jesus say, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus shows us the immense, unfathomable fruit that issues from one grain of wheat, one life offered for God's use. When God raised Jesus from the dead, the power of love exploded into the world, loosing the grip of evil, pain, brokenness, and all that would diminish or destroy life. Albert Schweitzer said, "Jesus means something to our world because a mighty spiritual force streams forth from him and flows through our time also." End of quote. John Meacham describes this force, saying, "At the center of the Christian story lies love, not hate, grace, not rage, mercy, not vengeance." End of quote. Richard Rohr, quoting James Allison, quoting René Girard, puts these words on Jesus' lips. "This is how I prove my love to you. By taking you at your very lowest and worst point and saying, 'Yes, you did this to me, but I'm not concerned about that. Let's see whether we can't learn a new way of being together.'" End of quote. And that new way of being is, in the words of Presiding Bishop Michael Curry, the way of love. Love is humble, selfless, self-sacrificing, compassionate, merciful, forgiving, slow to anger, of great kindness, and powerful beyond our imagination, able to transform the worst that human depravity can conceive into the very means that makes all things new. God did a new thing, And forever after, all things have the possibility of being made new. There is nothing exempt from this potential for newness. Yes, sometimes transformation may take years, decades, but miraculous things are always possible because the love of God takes what was dead and fills it with new life. And yet, it is our human nature to underestimate God, to forget that because of Jesus, our lives are characterized by resurrection, that the arc of history and the order of the cosmos bends towards new life. Too often, we don't live like that is true. Think for a moment about some situation or some relationship, some project where you have given up, lost hope, maybe even said to yourself, well, that's just the way things are. It is not so. Think of how many endings there are to the Gospel of Mark. Just when we think the story is over, God does something more, something unexpected, something new. I turn again to John Meacham's words from his book of sermons entitled The Hope of Glory. Meacham describes the Christian life like this. It is a drama whose ultimate purposes I cannot yet and may never fully grasp, but in which I invest my hopes that someday, in some way, all things will be made new. End of quote. That little girl who stood in the snow on an Easter morning, filled with nervous excitement, holding tight to her father's hand, had only just begun to taste the limitless possibilities of the rising sun, breaking across the horizon, shining into a day and a world that is forever changed. Behold, God is making all things new. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his
face toward you and give you peace.
Journey of faith. All are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.